Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Praise God. Good morning. It's good to be back in front and anywhere. Hallelujah. It's good to be perpendicular. Glory to God. God's been good to me. That's my sob story. I did pastor for 24 years. Yeah, it didn't feel like 24 hours, but 24 years. Last 20 years, I've just been wandering. It'll be 60 countries by the end of this year. Just got back from Guyana in April, and then I was in Thailand for May because people need Jesus in warm weather. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So it's not hard to get guys to go with me. We're still building and buying houses in Cuba, about 40 houses, and now they're celebrating God this morning. They're house churches. Glory to God. We have fishing boats, hair salons, sewing centers, and a laundromat, because I believe in sustainable development, hallelujah. And 40% of everything I mention goes into ministry. Pays salaries and 40% goes into ministry. So we say thank God. Amen. Amen, amen. A couple of guys have been with me. Yeah, four guys. I can't remember their last names. We call them Chatty D and Sleepy D. So one never shut up, the other one always slept. Hallelujah. So it was good. And Ian, are you in the house this morning? There you are, brother. Who else are we missing? Not Marvin. Marvin, where are you, brother? There you are. God bless you. Drove all the way in from Clarington. So did I. Hallelujah. So it's okay. One verse, shall we? Let's get at it. Glory to God. Let's get at the word this morning. Romans 8:37. No! That's how it starts. Okay. No! In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Who loved us. Who loved us. Past tense. Okay, let me read it again. Some of you aren't used to my incredible humor. Okay. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Church, I love the language of Romans as it contains a wealth of spiritual truth. You need to understand this right from the get-go this morning, sir, ma'am. Understand that verse 37 is a conclusion. This is me pausing for effect. Verse 37 is a conclusion. It's a conclusion of what God wants us to understand. In Greek, more than conquerors means extraordinary victory, an enduring victory, overwhelming triumph, utter dominance, going beyond. I love that. More than conquerors means your enemy dies at your feet. Are you ready for this? More than conquerors means that your enemy dies at your feet, rises from the dead, and serves you. Oh, come on. That was a good point, church. I know it's 9 o'clock and some of you guys are dragged to church. I get that. But your enemy dies, rises again, and now serves you. Serves you, serves you. So to be more than an overcomer, to be more than an overcomer, that's what the word means. And I say, thank God. Hyperdrive conquerors, hyperdrive. We don't just win, we don't just survive. There's a wealth transfer. Oh, wait, I like that one. There's a wealth transfer, new resources, profit gained from the victory, because now what used to occupy your life in the flesh is now occupied in the spirit. And so there is a transfer of wealth. Don't think about your pocketbook before you think of your heart, because prosperity does not begin in your bank account. It begins in your heart. Begins in your heart. I don't trust you with money in your bank account unless your heart is right with God. How many multimillionaires do we know in sports today that have made millions are now living in their mama's basement? You'd be laughing, but it's true. They got good talent, but they got no character. They don't understand. Prosperity begins in who you are in Jesus Christ. If you want to prosper, walk in holiness, walk in righteousness. Be the guy, the gal that God wants you to be. Hallelujah. You need to understand that spiritual victory is not earned or achieved. Let me say it again, men. It's not earned or achieved. It is a gift of God through Jesus Christ. Spiritual victory is a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. I appreciate all your abilities and all your stuff, and that's great. But that's not how you arrive at spiritual victory. Jesus Christ gives you spiritual victory. The price has already been paid. Hallelujah. We are more than conquerors. Why, how, when, where? Well, I'm glad you asked, because that's where we're going this morning. Let's take a boo at it. Let's take a look at it. Number one, because God has given up His Son. You are more than a conqueror because God gave you His Son. He gave Him to you. It wasn't forced. It wasn't twisted in heaven. You got to go. You got to go. God gave His Son. God sent His Son to be our sin offering. Verse 3. God sent His Son. The one who never sinned became our sin offering. The one who never knew sin was tempted in all areas. That freaks me out. Was tempted in all areas and didn't know sin became sin for humanity. Billions of people, their sin just rolled over on Jesus, and I go, wow, wow. I thank God today because Jesus Christ was given. He wasn't just given, He was delivered. Word of God, it's in the book, church, I read it. He was delivered. God didn't withhold His Son. He delivered Him up for us. He was delivered for our offenses. Hallelujah. So God didn't just send His Son, for God so loved the world that He sent His Son, but He delivered Him. He delivered Him to the world. That's how much you mean to God this morning, sir. Ma'am, that's how much you mean to God. That He wrapped Him up in swaddling clothes and laid Him in a manger. I mean, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and God delivered Him. Delivered Him. That's hard for any dad. Must have been hard for Hannah to deliver Samuel to the temple that day. You know, just saying, I'm going to keep my promise. But there's a deliverance there. And I say, thank God. He was delivered for our offenses. We have a Savior, a Deliverer, a Redeemer, a Rock, a Lamb, a Mediator, and an Advocate. Hallelujah. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God. Let's not waste that verse. Let's not waste that verse. Jesus Christ, let me say it again. It's in my notes. I want you to get it in your heart. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God. It doesn't say that we might pop into church once in a while and throw a few bucks on the offering plate. It doesn't mean we cut back or quit and don't do certain things anymore. And the Word of God says, no, you can become the righteousness of God. So it's not a case of just popping in and giving homage to God and tipping your hat on a Sunday morning. It's being a righteous son of God. Righteous son of God. Jesus Christ laid His life down for a bigger purpose than you and I are living. It's in the book, church. I want you to get it in your heart today. Number two, we're more than conquerors because God has settled the issue of sin. Thank you. He has settled the issue of sin. Bubba. If I may, Mr. Bubba, you don't have to sin anymore. Thank you for coming out. God bless you. You don't have to sin anymore. Sin is a choice. I don't need the devil to sin. I got that down pretty good. I know how to sin. I was born in a base nature. I gave my life to Jesus Christ, but I can go back to that base nature anytime I want to. I serve Jesus Christ today because I love Him. I made a choice this morning when I got to bed. I love Jesus Christ. And because I love Him, I'm going to serve Him. And I say, thank God. There was no lineup to die for this guy. Wouldn't have mattered anyway. You and I were in the same mess. We'd end up in the same place. But you know what? I want you to know today, sometimes your soul just needs to speak to your body and your soul and go, we don't have to do this anymore. So, some of you, your default is sin. Your default has always been sin. You go back to where Jesus brought you out of, and that's where the devil wants to keep you. The devil wants to take you back where Jesus picked you up. You understand that? Whatever you were before you gave your life to Jesus Christ, the devil wants to slap Jesus in the face with your sin. Don't play that game. I rejoice this morning today because we don't have to sin. We've been set free by the power of Jesus Christ. Come on, let me say it again. Your spirit needs to speak to your soul. Your spirit needs to speak to your body. Your spirit needs to speak. You never lead with your body. You never lead with your soul. You never lead with your emotions. And you don't always lead with your intellect. You lead with your spirit. You lead with your spirit. It's your spirit that never sleeps or slumbers. It's your spirit that searches the deep things of God. It's the Spirit of God within you that can make a difference. Hallelujah. I say thank God. So that issue of sin has been settled. Right? There are three levels of condemnation. There's self, people, and devil. Jesus does not condemn. He convicts. Let me say it again because I have the microphone. Jesus does not condemn, he convicts. The devil condemns you, people will condemn you, and you'll condemn yourself. Some of you are your worst enemies. Jesus Christ has set you free, and because you say things like, well, that's the way it's been, it's always been that way, my father was like this, and it's just in the family tree, it's in the family genes. If you don't like your family tree, start a new one today in Jesus' name, hallelujah. It doesn't matter. Just rise up. Stop making excuses. We talked to the guys about that yesterday, that we don't live in our past. The past is behind us. It's like your rearview mirror when you've got a big windshield. Your future is your windshield. Your rearview mirror is your past. You glance there. You don't live there. And I say, thank God for setting us free. You don't have to sin. You don't have to sin. When Chucky Boy Price sins, it's because I choose to sin. I don't blame the devil. He's not in the country. You'd be laughing, but I'm serious. The devil's not omnipresent. This is not news to you. This devil's not, can't be everywhere at once. The devil's not all powerful, and he's not all knowing. If you think that, you just made him God. You just made him God. If the devil's in some other country today, he cannot be here. He cannot be in Pickering. He's nothing more than a fallen angel. Don't make him any greater than that. Hallelujah. So what? You know what? If the devil's not here today, let's get the job done. Let's get the job done and be what God wants us to be. You don't have to sin. Let your spirit speak. You have a choice today. Live by the flesh or live by the spirit. Got it? Number three, we're more than conquerors because God has given us his spirit. He's given us his spirit. The person of the Holy Spirit is mentioned 20 times in this one chapter. I wonder what God was trying to tell us. 20 times in one chapter, the Holy Spirit is mentioned. Let me give you a few examples. Verse 9, he has come to indwell us. Verse 10, he imparts life. Verse 11 and 23, his indwelling secures our resurrection. The same power that raised Christ from the dead now dwells inside of you. And if he dwells in you, he can quicken your mortal body. And that's just not on the day of resurrection. That's just not when Jesus Christ comes back. He can quicken your mortal body today to say no to the things of the world. To say he can quicken your mind, he can quicken your body to do what's right, not popular. He can do that today. I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. He's our ever-present guide, verse 14, verse 16. He assures us we are the children of God, verse 26. He helps me in my weaknesses. God's not made strong in your strength, sir. You can groom it. You can have talents and abilities. You can have all that stuff. You can have the charisma, the charm, all that stuff. That's great. That's fine. But God is not made strong in what you're already good at. And that's the danger about fighting the secular and being a part of the church, is that we're always trying to offer God our best. We're always trying, and that's nothing wrong with the best, but we're trying to offer God our talents, our abilities that we've performed, that we've done. God says, give me your weaknesses, because if you give me your weaknesses and I become strong, everybody in the house will know it wasn't you, but it was me. Because they know you're not good at it. They know you're not good at it. So God goes, yeah, give me your weaknesses. Give me your weakness. I don't want to do that. I want everybody to see how good I am. Then you're not dead to self. You're alive in the flesh. You're alive in the flesh. Let's not play. That's real. It's word. And we don't want that a part of our lives. And I say, thank God, thank God. Speak to your flesh. Remind your flesh of who was in control. It's in the book, verses 9 and 10, church. Either your spirit's in control or your flesh is in control. Whatever you feed the most will grow. Let me try it over here. Whatever you feed the most will grow. Hallelujah. Come on, look at this. That's 67 years of investing. This is full gospel. Some of you are way too skinny to be Pentecostals. Hallelujah. This is, when Jesus Christ says, out of my innermost being, I give him lots of room to move. Hallelujah. I say, thank the Lord. You'd be laughing, church, but when I get you laughing, my MO is to smack you in the head after I get you laughing. You understand that? I want you to get it in your heart today. Get it in your lives today. Speak to your flesh. Who is in control? Who's in control? We say we're gods, then God ought to be in control. We don't just show up for an hour and a half Sunday morning and go on in the flesh. That's not how he rolls. What else we got for you? We're more than conquerors because God has adopted us into his family. He's adopted us into his family. Sir, you're a child of choice. Mom, you're a child of choice. God chose you. God chose you. Lori and Hannah, my mom and dad, I wasn't a child of choice. I was a child. I popped out. There I was. They were stuck with me, 10 pounds, 2 ounces. Was that a groan? I've gained weight since then. 10 pounds, 2 ounces. The doctor looked at my father and said, "Preacher, he's either going to be a boxer or he's going to be a boxer or a preacher. I've been boxing the devil for 44 years. Hallelujah. It's all good." I say, thank God. Greater is he. Greater is he. Greater is he. Church, you may not like it. I like it. We've all been adopted. Are you okay with that? If you're okay with that, you're a child of choice. Jesus Christ chose you. You know, you think you chose him? No, you didn't find him. He was looking for you already. He was looking for you. He was looking. Remember, God sent his son. He delivered him for you. Hallelujah. We're more than conquerors because we belong to his family. We belong to the family of God. Verses 14 to 17. The word adoption means placing as a son. Placing as a son. So God picks you out of the miry clay and he places you into his family. Hallelujah. And you know why I know that? Because there's a recording angel that writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, which implies you're a part of the family of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not written in crayon. It's written in the blood of Jesus Christ. And I speak that over your life today. Come on, church. We belong to a great family. We have an Abba Father. We have a Papa God. A call of recognition and relationship. A call of recognition and relationship. Adoption speaks to bondage. Do you understand that? It speaks to bondage. It speaks to bondage and fear and habits and insecurity and anxiety. And I say, thank God. We got a lot of fear today. People are walking in fear, anxiety, and they're not sure what to do. I meet people in the church that post-COVID, they walk in fear, night terrors. They're waking up during the night, and they've never experienced that before, and the devil is trying to rip us off. I got to tell you good news this morning. Fear and faith cannot operate at the same time. You speak to your fear at 2 o'clock in the morning. You speak to your fear at 4 o'clock in the morning before you go to your medicine cabinet. You speak to fear and say, fear, back off right now. I'm walking in faith. I am walking in faith. Fear is a tangible. I speak to fear. I speak to fear. So get lost. I'm busy right now serving Jesus Christ. I don't have time to fear. I don't. That's not who I am, but fear tries to sneak in once in a while. I know what I'm talking about. So I just remind, do you know fear? Do you know who I belong to? You know, being adopted is like the little guy in the playground at school, and the bully's always picking on him and slapping the boy, giving him licks. Just checking where the Trinidadians are. Hallelujah. giving him licks, and he's taking a beating day after day. He loses his lunch money. He loses his milk money. He loses everything. And that big bully, finally that little boy says, you know what, I'm tired of this. He's all beat up, raggedy. Next day, that bully starts beating on him. The little boy gets up on his knees and goes, you better leave me alone. You better leave me alone right now. Why should I leave you alone? Because you don't know who my father is. My father's the chief of police of this city. Come on, sir. Get back up on your sticks. Get back up this morning. Get back up this morning. Get back up this morning. And wave your finger in the devil's face and go, you better back off, chump. You better back off, you loser, big fat loser. You better back off because you do know who my father is. My father is God. Hallelujah. You got to speak at church. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's in your heart ought to come out of your mouth. You know this stuff. We just need to rehearse it before we get to heaven. You know what adoption answers? It answers the question of who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? I'll tell you who my daddy is. My daddy's Papa God. Abba Father. Hallelujah. Father of all fathers. Verse 17. We're not just children of God, but we're heirs of God and joint heirs with him. Are you getting this morning? What he has is part of your inheritance. What God owns is part of your inheritance. I have one son, 2 daughters, right? They have an inheritance coming. So someday they'll get that. They have keys to my home because they're my family. They walk in an authority that you don't walk in because they're my family. They were not adopted, but they've been adopted into the family. But they're my biological children, and I love them this morning. And I say, thank God, church. We're blessed today. We're blessed today. We're blessed today. We're blessed today because we're adopted into the family of God. It's okay to be adopted, sir. It's a great thing. It's a great thing. It's a great thing. Number 87. We're more than conquerors because God has promised us that all things work together for good to them that love God or are called according to his purpose. Here's the danger. Here's the problem. Verse 28 says all things. You go, seriously, Chucky boy? Yeah, all things, Skippy. All things. Say, Chuck, you obviously don't know my life. You obviously don't live in my shoes. And you're right. The Bible says all things, and that means everything. Everything has the potential to work out for good. You believe that? Okay, let's dance on that for just a minute. All things. It gets better. The words work together means to create and eliminate, place and replace, shape and forge, press and stretch, control and guide, arrange and rearrange. And the danger I talked about earlier is this, that we give up between shape and press. We give up. We pack it in. Well, I gave God a chance. I tried God. What, you think he's a pair of shoes? I tried God. He's not a blouse. He's not a skirt. He's not a pair of pants. He's God. He's God all by himself. All by himself. And I say, thank God. So we are more than conquerors. I get that. I understand that. But I got to tell you, we bail. What happens is in between shape and press, we go, uh-uh. You know, we get mad at God. Okay, seven of us. The rest of you are passive aggressive. We get mad at God because God didn't answer our prayer in the timing we thought. I pray for people for salvation. I pray for people for healing. Stood by the hospital room after praying for a widow for 4 months that God would heal her. She died in my arms. I did what I did as a pastor and I buried her. On the way home from the committal, I had a little chat with God. That's the human side of Chuck Price. I don't throw my doctrine out the window because of experience. Some of you are led by experience. You're going to get your butt kicked. Can I use that word Sunday morning? I could use the King James version. Some of you quit too soon. See, Chuck, please don't play that game of the carrot in front. Don't dangle that. I'm just telling what the Word of God has to say. God is shaping, he's making, he's pressing, he's forging, he's arranging, he's rearranging, and you got mad at God. And you know what some of you have done? You decided to write your own last chapter. You took the pen out of God's hand, and you began to write your chapter on how you'd like things to end. And your chapter may read well, your chapter may read really well, but you know what? You've robbed God of a victory in your life. You've robbed God of the supernatural. You've robbed God of an opportunity for the miraculous. You've robbed God for that healing because you chose that God wasn't enough and you were. Ouch or amen. I'm putting it out there this morning, church, because I leave after the service. Hallelujah. So God has promised us a good outcome. A good outcome. Can I just say it again before I move on? Please don't conclude on what God's not finished yet. You never judge spiritual success with your eyes. You never judge spiritual success with your eyes. It has to be spiritually discerned. It has to be spiritually discerned. We're more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors because God has a plan and a purpose for our life that includes grace. It includes grace. Come on. Verses 29 and 30 contains five thoughts that link together God's redemptive purposes for us. Here's the first scary one. Foreknowledge, to predestination, to call, to justification, to glorify. Those are the five. You don't have to be afraid of them, church. Verse 29 is not saying God chooses some for heaven and chooses other for hell. Because God knows your choice, it's still your choice. Okay, I'll be back. I'm not giving up here that easy. Hallelujah. My son's 41. I've known him for 41 years. I'm not God, but if you put him in a situation, I'll tell you how he'll respond because I'm his father. And I've watched him grow after 41 years, and you put him in any situation, and 9 times out of 10, I'll call the shot. Did I know his decision? Kind of, because I know his pattern. I know his genes. I know his bloodline. I know how he operates. Church, because God knows whether you're going to heaven or hell, it's still your choice. It's still your choice. There's no robots here this morning. There's no robots this morning. You have choice today. You're blessed by your choices or you're cursed by your choices. We're not blaming God and we're definitely not blaming the devil. And I say, thank the Lord. Thank God. Jesus can turn it around. He can turn it around. And I say, thank the Lord. So predestination is not a bad word. It means pro or iso, to mark off, to set boundaries. What boundaries? I'm glad you asked. Here's the boundary. We're conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. We're conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. We're more than conquerors because nothing can separate us from the love of God. Do you believe that? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Absolutely nothing, nothing. Straight up, the Word of God makes that very clear. Nothing. Verses 35 to 39. There's no circumstance, no situation, no event that can cause Jesus Christ to turn away from you. Let me say it again. God's not going to turn away. Your past does not disqualify you from God's love. I mean, people all over the world. Chuck, it's been too long. I've been too bad. I've been a prodigal 19 times and made my way back. I got more no to Jesus than yes to Jesus. Like, I'm in a country and I'm at the altar and this guy looks beside me. And I knew he was a gang member, and so I'm praying for him. And then he turns around and he looks at me cold in the eye. Can God forgive a murderer? Can God forgive a murderer? I said, yes, sir, he can. There might be a price to pay. He says, I'm okay with that. That's why I came back from the States to this country, because there's a price to pay. I know I'm a wanted guy. But if God can forgive me of my sins, even what I've done, then I want to invite Jesus Christ into my life. Church, God will love you whether you go to heaven or hell. I don't want to look at any one person when I do this. God will love you whether you go to heaven or hell. This is my Stevie Wonder look. God will love you whether you go to heaven or hell. God loves every sinner in hell and loves every saint in heaven. That's not the issue. It's not an issue. God is love. He doesn't do love. He is love. He loves you. He loves you. There's nothing you can do, sir, to separate you from the love of God. Don't play that game. He's going to love you no matter what, but we don't take advantage of that. Because he loves me, wants me to bring me on board that I might love him through my actions, through my deeds, through my thought life, that I might prove my love for the Lord Jesus Christ just because I want to be obedient. Hallelujah. So, church, I want you to get it in your heart. There's nothing. You say, no, Chuck, no, God, he can't love me. I failed too often. I've been too disobedient. Yeah, me too. I've had bad thoughts about lust, and I cuss too much, and sin is my default, and failure is, listen, failure is not your big issue. Failure, church, I don't have enough fingers and toes to tell you how many times I've failed Jesus Christ. And that's just this month. I mean, I don't cuss out loud anymore, but once in a while under my breath. Usually at board members. That didn't go well. Okay, so. There's nothing you can do to separate yourself. Nothing. Let me go back to this. Failure is not the issue. Jesus knows you're going to fail. The devil knows you're going to fail. Is that your positive confession? Yeah, I'm positive you're going to fail. Yeah. The issue is not whether you fail. The issue with the devil is he wants you to lose your faith. Talk to Peter about it. Luke 32:22-32. When Jesus says to him, listen, when you come to your senses, son, when you come to your senses, when you get back up on your sticks, go tell your brothers. Go tell your brothers. Your mess becomes your message, sir. Your mess becomes your message. But the mess ought to change over the years and not be the same mess from 10 years ago. We ought to mature and grow in the things of God. Let me say it again, and I can back it up with the Word of God. The issue is not failure. The devil knows you're going to fail. The issue is you fail for the last time and don't get back up again. You walk out of this church, you walk away from Jesus, he doesn't walk away from you, right? You go far quick because of the love of God penetrating your heart day in and day out. My issue is not failure, my issue is faith. Faith. Do not lose your 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 faith. People can condemn you, religion can condemn you, denomination can condemn you. The kingdom of God will always make room for you. But we need to mature and grow and get healthy in what God has for our lives. Hallelujah. Failure does not disqualify you from God's love. Being unsaved does not disqualify you from God loving you. Hallelujah. And I say thank God. I feel so unworthy, discouraged, self-condemned, defeated. Excellent. You're a candidate for God's love. Hallelujah. Welcome aboard. He loves us. He loves us. He loves us. Guys, it's time to accept the unconditional love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Some of the issues are this morning, sir, is you don't love yourself. You were hoping that your lady would help you out that way. You can't love her like you want to love her because you don't love yourself. You walked into a marriage hoping that she would add to your life. You have to walk into a marriage with 2 feet on the ground, not 1 foot, hoping she becomes the other foot. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. You already know that. I've been married for 47 years to the same American lady. I travel a lot, so it gives her a break. Hallelujah. But you know what? I love that girl. Our love has grown and grown and grown. Has it always been perfect? Absolutely not. But through trial and error and growing up, American, Canadian, you know, Air Force kid, preacher's kid, we had nothing in common but Jesus. But here we are 47 years later. That's the love of God, church. That's the love of God. That's the power of God within our hearts and our lives. Hallelujah. Get a hold of that today. Listen to me. Who can separate you from the love of God? Look at the list, Bubba. Tribulation, trouble, trials, distress, anguish, agony, persecution, mocked or mistreated, famine, nakedness, peril or sword. You know, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Bad circumstances are not evidence that God doesn't love you. Bad circumstances are not evidence that God doesn't love you. Bad circumstances. Oh, it's a bad circumstance. Yeah, every hero of yours in Old Testament, New Testament went through bad circumstances. They went through. The word through means in one end and out the other. You don't be staying there, Bubba. Right? You dust off your shoes and report for duty and get going again. Hallelujah. That's what God's looking for today. Every great leader in the Bible faced bad circumstances. So we can talk about woe is me, and my wife, my husband, my finance, my business partner, my. We can go down that road. I'm telling you, don't give up. God's not done yet. Out of the darkest of nights, the light shines the brightest. Hallelujah. So if it's been like hell the last couple of weeks, we're close to victory. And I say thank the Lord. In all these things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Let me break down our text. The word no. You will never, he'll never leave us. He's not going to forsake us. But again, church, guys, gals, you will never be what God wants you to be by simply saying yes to God. I was a professional at saying yes to God. I come from a long line of preachers, you know, and evangelists and whatever else. We spent a lot of time in church. I was good at the altar on a Sunday night or at camp somewhere going, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. You know what I wasn't good at? 2 hours later, saying no to the world. So if all you're doing is saying yes to God, yes to God, yes to God, and come to this altar and shed a few tears and snot nose a little bit, and then you go out and 2 hours later, you're back to your same old habits. And next Sunday, Pastor Marie preaches a message, it convicts you, you run to the front. Conviction has to bring change. It has to bring change, it has to bring change. We can't just, oh, I'm convicted. Yeah, you've been that way for 5 years. It has to bring change in our hearts and our lives. The love of God has to bring change. And I say, thank the Lord God. We're conquerors through Jesus Christ. So we break it down. Listen, you need to practice saying no to the world. No, I don't put that in my body anymore. No, this is a conversation I'm not going to have in the church parking lot. I'm not playing that game. No, I'm not going there, but I'm going to invite you to something else. Because I'm not going to go back to what Satan brought me out, what Jesus brought me out of, to go back to where Satan had me held. Like, you know, if you've been an alcoholic, don't get a job at the LCBO. God will provide for you. God will provide for you. He'll make a way. He's not going to open a door for you to go back into your sin. He's not going to play that game. Don't play with me. Your life is too important to heaven, and I want you to get in your heart. We're more than conquerors through him. You know, so simply saying yes and no may help you today. You need to say no to flesh, no to the world, no to your old nature. Hell no, we won't go. Hallelujah. Authority, you got to say no. Take your authority. Guys, one of the things the devil's tried to rob you of is your authority. Authority, so you failed. So now you hide behind your wife. You hide behind. Get up this morning. We all failed. I already told you that. You have an authority in Jesus Christ. Your failure will not dictate your future. Your faith will. We've all failed. There's no gold star this morning because you screwed up. Can I say that? Because you messed up. There's no gold star this morning. We've all failed. Get up. Take your authority in Jesus' name because you're a child of the Most High. Stop wimping out. Stop stepping away and be what God wants you to be in these last days. I don't do ministry. Ministry was doing me. You know what I've learned? Just to be what God wants me to be, and ministry will find me. Ministry will find me. I don't go looking for it. Right? Ministry tracks for me, looks for me, because we bring something to the table, and I say, thank God. Church, get a hold of it this morning. All things work together. The list I just shared with you, all things are working. We're more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Not your bucks, your bronze, your beauty, your charisma, your charm, your cool. He loved us. He loved us. I like the way that's worded. Listen, he loved us. You ready? If he could love us then, you put your own then in there. Mine was at Young and Dundas, Wednesday morning, about 7 o'clock, 1974. When I shook my fist at God and told him I'd never serve him a day in my life and swore and cursed and acted out. You can do that at Young and Dundas. Nobody looking at you. You can play that game. I'm shaking my fist. If he loved me then, when I cussed him out, when I told him I didn't want to serve him, if he loved me then, he can love me now. He doesn't love me anymore now after 40-some years of serving him. He doesn't love. You're not earning his love. We've already talked about this. Just take it. Accept it. Here, take it. Take it. Take his love this morning. Activate your feet and your faith towards the love that God has for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Guys, you need to mature into verses 38 and 39. I am persuaded. I am persuaded. I am persuaded. I am convinced that death nor life, neither angels, neither the things present or future, nothing or later, nothing, not height nor depth nor anything else, all creation will be able to separate me from the love of God. We need to mature into that, guys. No demon, no Loch Ness monster, no creation from outer space, no conspiracy theory. Pause. No conspiracy theory, no pleasure, no principality, nothing now, nothing later. Hallelujah. And here's the key, sir, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, which is in him. In him, in him. Spend time in him. Spend time with him. Hallelujah. Guys, we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. You self-defeat with lines like, I can't help it, I tried, I quit, I can't do it. It's just the way it is. The battle's in your mind. Verse 5, there's a natural mind and a spiritual mind. So whatever you focus on, you empower. You empower what you focus on. If you would focus on 22 hours a day on internet and television, that will become your focus. They'll become your focus. Again, we don't play that game. That's not who we are. And I just say, thank God, thank God. Change your stinking thinking. Change your reality. Change your reality by your thinking. Here's something for you. Here's a bone this morning. Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure, lovely, of good report. Think on these things. Think on these things. That means there's some things you can't watch. Guys, we had this conversation. Your eyes are the windows of your soul. The eyes are the windows of your soul. What you bring in here goes right here. So you got to guard what you watch more than our ladies. They're stimulated by touch. We're stimulated by sight. And so we need to be careful with these eye sockets. We need to be careful, 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 because there's a devil out there that wants to destroy you, and our own flesh will destroy you. So we're not going to play that game. We're not going to go down that road. And I say, thank God. Come on, Philippians 4:8. Mark it in your life. Mark it on your hearts. Here's the cold notes for you bottom line guys. In Jesus, there is no condemnation. Verse 1. It's in the book. There is no condemnation. No condemnation. There's now no condemnation. No intimidation. Verse 31. If God be for us, who can be against him? Bring him. Bring him! They can bring a friend. Bring them. Who can be against us? Come on, Skipper. Let's get it on. Bring it. Bring it. Who can be against us? No intimidation. No accusation. Verse 33. Hallelujah. Who will bring any charge against you? Who? Who? Because overlaid over time is stamped in the blood of Jesus Christ. Forgiven, paid in full. Paid in full. Hallelujah. Stop beating yourself up through your rearview mirror and just be what God wants you to be. Stop looking back and start looking forward in the name of Jesus Christ. It's time to find your spiritual testicles. Sorry, Pastor. No separation, verse 35. Who will separate us from the love of God? Who? Who will separate us from the love of God? No limitations, no limitations. Verse 37, we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, glory to God, slap the devil, hallelujah. I got good news for you, folks. Got news for you, fellas. Here's the spoiler alert. Old man trying to rap. I knew you'd like this. Old white man trying to rap. It's not going to be pretty, but let's give it a shot, hallelujah. Here's my big ending. There's been an intervention, a translation, a new introduction with a new obligation under new operation and adoption through the incarnation, with a new attraction, connection, and conviction, no longer frustration by temptation, just acceleration in my affection. Did I mention I found the solution with no condemnation, no exemption, and no expiration, no rejection, just perfection in my salvation? Stand with me, please. Stand with me. Thank you for your kind applause. I didn't expect that. I don't usually write out a prayer because it just doesn't mean it didn't come from my heart. I just did it earlier. So here's my prayer for the house today. The devil and death have been defeated. I'm no longer a slave to sin. Circumstances will not dictate my Christianity. My Christianity will dictate to my circumstances. I speak to my failures, my fears, and my frustrations. I'd rather confront them than be hit later from behind. From today on, I lead with my spirit, not my body or my soul. I guard my eyes. I guard my eyes. I guard my eyes. For they're the windows of my soul. My soul belongs to Jesus, and my body is his temple. I'm not a victim. I'm victorious. I'm not overcome. I'm an overcomer through Jesus Christ. Amen.
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.